Well, hello, everyone. How you doing?
Good evening.
I think Blake has a little belly problem today.
I don't.
But he has a bellicose problem. Not Bela Lugosi, bellicose.
Lugosi is dead. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Undead.
It's true.
Yes.
I got a little bit of a mini rant to go on that I'm sure lots of people are aware of, but I've been fortunate most of the time to not have to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for some somewhat uncommon pedals, and I found them on Reverb, and I found them in a few different places used, and I was like, those aren't bad prices, but let me keep looking around. And then I found a website that seems to be stuck in, I want to say, boutique pedals circa 2014. And I found them listed on there as brand new. And I thought, well, these are actually pretty good prices. And they've got a bunch of other stuff. I believe they had a couple Wamplers on there, if I remember correctly. Older ones. And I thought, well, I'll go ahead and buy it through PayPal. And if it ends up being a scam or some sort of flaky website, I'll do a chargeback, which I've never had to do before. It's always worked out in my favor. And this website, which is called musictoys.com, everybody.
Yeah, familiar with that.
Yeah. They apparently, I should have also looked at Google reviews, because apparently they like to make a habit of not sending people stuff when it's ordered.
There's a word for that. What is it? Scram? Slam?
Scram? Scream?
Spam?
Yeah.
Nam? Hold on. Oh.
Yeah. Hold on. So there's a few reviews, and I'd already ordered by this point, and I was like, well, I'll give them a little bit of time. So I gave them a few days and started getting a bad feeling. So I called the listed phone number. Nobody answered. I sent an email requesting to cancel the order, because by then I had already located the pedals for what I needed them for, and actually had them in my possession. So I was like, I really don't need these anymore. So since you haven't shipped it, cancel. And never heard nothing after several days. And I thought, you know, these Google reviews are giving me bad feelings, so I'm going to issue a chargeback. Well, you apparently got to wait 3.5 years before PayPal will actually do the chargeback.
What?
That's an exaggeration.
Dear Mr. Okay. Wiley, we notice you bought pedals in 2003. Your refund has been accepted.
How long do you have to wait? Is it like 30 days or something? It's normally 28 days or something like that.
It is. It's like 28 days. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is PayPal lets you go through all the process, upload all the documentation, type out the big long story that you take, 45 minutes to make sure you include all the details so it's all clear, and then you hit submit and they're like, actually, we recommend you wait until May 1st.
Why?
But
because of the 28 days?
Because of the 28 day thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. That does suck.
I don't mind that. It's literally the fact that, why do you even let me go through this whole process before you hit submit and they're like, cool, we're not going to do anything about that.
What was the source of your funds? Was it a PayPal account, or did you pay for it from the credit card to your PayPal account?
I doubled it. I used my PayPal credit card through my PayPal account.
Oh, you've trebled it. We've gone square here, surely. I'm not sure where we are in the cubic universe, but...
Well, I was trying to get that 3% cash back.
You are in trouble. Because if it was like a MasterCard, you could have probably just bypassed PayPal and said, hey, there was a bad transaction, do a chargeback. They would have still charged you, made you wait 30 days, or 28 days, whatever. But they would have at least taken your information over the phone and done it, yeah.
There is a separate bank I can call. It's not actually, it's a PayPal card, but it's not issued by PayPal. It's one of those weird things.
Yeah,
it's
you ring the bank and they'll go, just putting you on hold, Mr. Weiland, and then they connect you to PayPal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the guy you were speaking to.
All that to say, just make sure, and if you never heard of a place before, go ahead and read the Google reviews, which should be obvious.
That's the word I was looking for, scam. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it rhymed with spam. Right, okay.
I guess
in no way related.
The website is largely functional, looks fairly decent, it's easy to navigate, doesn't feel like a scam. There's all the stuff that you would hope to see. Verified buyer through PayPal, all that as well. So, I don't know. If you're listening to this, owner of Music Toys, you could have went ahead and responded to my email and saved a lot of headache. So,
nice rant. Came in cold, came in completely dry, and hit us with a massive rant.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, that's what I was working on right before we started recording, so it's fresh.
It's a fresh rant. One.
Yeah.
I want to see which Wamplers they have on here. Ooh, those are old school.
Am I wrong? It seems like everything they carry is circa 2014-ish.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep, they even have a catapult still.
Uh-huh. But I don't know that they have any
and
of it.
And a slow storage. Well, it's on the website, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know that they actually have any of it.
Yeah, they were a retailer a while back. I don't deal with that part of the business anymore, but I'm assuming since nothing new is on there, they're not a retailer anymore?
Maybe they went out of business.
I don't see anything new from anybody on there. It's kind of weird.
So you called the cell phone as well?
Yep.
You just said scathing text message?
I didn't send a scathing text message yet, but I know it'll all get resolved eventually because, you know, either PayPal or the credit card, they usually side with the buyer. So we'll see.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well,
you should have asked ChatGPT first about that.
I tried to use ChatGPT for something and it didn't really work. So
what? Impossible. Wrong prompt.
No, I gave it lots of prompts. I ended up just having to write the whole thing the old-fashioned way.
Man.
With a quill by candlelight.
Quills are very difficult to write with. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend it.
So
in England, it's traditional that we sign all checks with quills.
I believe that.
There it is.
Damn, I'm determined to get to fake English news in at some point. No, speaking of fake English news, I have some sad news, which I will mention in a bit, but I'm also going to mention... Apparently, Metallica are kept alive by Earl Grey tea. Did you guys read this?
I did not, but it doesn't surprise me.
It's the most metal thing in the world ever. They've taken every substance and beverage known to man, but now it is a drop of the Earl that keeps them alive for concert. I think that's fantastic. Have you ever tried Earl Grey tea, Bri?
Yeah, of course. All the time.
You're lying?
No, I mean, it is a thing here, but I don't really drink tea. I like sweet tea, but I don't drink like hot tea unless I'm sick.
See, I'm backwards. I don't like iced tea. I like hot tea.
You're not backwards. That's forwards. What are you talking about?
You're not from Midwest America, though.
I definitely don't want sweet tea.
So sweet tea is amazing. It's like one of the major food groups here.
I know it is. I think it's wrong.
I've probably told the story before about how when I was over in New York, my cousin ordered me takeout. And asked whether I wanted a drink. And I said, yeah, just anything. And said, all right, I'll get you some high C. And the guy on the end of the line heard iced tea. And as a British man, I had never tried iced tea. And when it came, he said, oh, this is high C. It's like an orange drink. And so my taste buds were ready to take in the taste of orange. And I drank what I can only describe as stuff that I used to find lying in saucers in my granny's house. And it wasn't nice. I've never drunk iced tea ever since, I don't think. My daughter loves it. She buys the Arizona iced tea, peach-flavored crap, but it's just sweet.
Arizona iced tea, the preferred iced tea of D'Angelico Guitars. Anyway.
That's an insider joke.
You can Google it. It's not that inside. It's Googleable.
I know nothing about what you speak of.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to say like details because I can't remember exactly, but there's something... D'Angelico has some connection to one of the founders of...
No, that's right. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah, we've discussed this before. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that now. That's right.
I don't remember what the details are.
Owners of D'Angelico maybe were part owners of Arizona or something?
Something like that. It's like I said, it's Googleable. I just don't remember all the details of it.
Perhaps we should write.
That's a way to get rid of some cash, you know, start a business in the music industry.
Exactly.
I've got all this cash. What do I do with it? I know. I'll start a gear company.
I'll start a gear company.
Yep. I'll get rid of that cash quick.
Yeah. It's like, well, hey, so Brian, I know that you've been real successful in the iced tea business. Wampler Iced Tea is taking America by storm. Problem is, now if you don't dump some of this cash, right, you're going to have to pay it to the government.
We need a tax write-off. I'll start selling guitar gear.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And thus Wampler Pedals was born.
Wait, am I working for a tax dodge? Oh, that's very disappointing.
And that makes sense why you don't get paid, right?
Oh, well, that does kind of now all... Actually, the clues do all... Yeah.
Right, it's becoming so clear now.
That's why I work for free. Okay.
It is going to be the North American Music Manufacturers Show very shortly, more commonly referred to as NAMM, but it's confusing because there's now two NAMMs.
I think that's National Association of Music Merchants.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. I'm going to call it North American because it's not, it's international. Whatever. However, there's like three pedals have been released today, like this very day, actually five, maybe six. In anticipation of the neural audio music manufacturer. Oh no, what is it called? North Atlantic meat manufacturers. I don't know.
Now that's a show I'd be at right now. Like, well, this is the meat merchants show. I'm here. Show me your prime cuts of beef, baby.
That is well, I mean, I wonder if there's like a pizza convention. Surely
there is.
Like, is it like NAMM or just all different types of pizzas?
It's NAMM. It's like, I can't remember what it's called, but it is like you go there and they're like, check out this new oven. Like this type of, it's like, it's the same exact thing. It's just for pizza owners and pizza shop owners and pizza related, you know, industry stuff.
That sounds interesting.
Sounds fascinating.
Almost every industry has one. It's very fascinating. I was talking to my coach about it, about NAMM, and he's like, oh, that sounds just like the Arnold. And the Arnold is the fitness industry's NAMM. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but the Arnold is a much better name. I can imagine going,
as you say, the Arnold, I'm sure there's lots of swole people there.
I asked him about that. He's like, there's lots of swole people. There's also a lot of lots of people who think they are and walk like it.
Yeah, the Arnold's way out.
So...
my lats are so big, I can't put my arms down.
And it's like, dude, you're 150 pounds. Knock it off. You know?
If you were a drug dealer, would you target the musical NAMM or would you target the the fitness awards, the Arnold's? Where would you sell the most drugs, do you think?
It depends on what type of drugs you're trying to sell.
Yeah, well, are you talking about like you know, testosterone
roids.
Type stuff?
Or? Yeah, roids? You'd be selling the roids, wouldn't you? You'd be able to sell more roids than you could coke at NAMM, I reckon.
Yeah, that's actually probably pretty accurate because not everybody at NAMM does coke, but you know,
but everybody going to the Arnold's is on roids.
You can tell those that do, though.
You can tell, generally speaking,
can you?
Like, I haven't slept for 4 days.
Yeah,
right.
NAMM's great. Woo!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. There's been several threads in the gear groups about NAMM and the lack thereof of a lot of companies that people are used to. What's your thoughts on
that? There is a little bit of interesting development on that, at least from my, you know, sector of the industry's perspective.
Sure.
Pretty much everybody, but I can't remember off the top of my head. It was that there were almost no string manufacturers going, and we were like, interesting. And now it seems like most of them are going, except D'Addario and maybe DR. I'd have to look at the map again. But like in the last 2 months, it seems like a lot of people have decided to go.
Exhibiting or just having like a...
Exhibiting. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to know until you're there. I'm just looking at the map. So
right.
I'm not exactly sure what it is. But the weird development this year is last year, it still seemed kind of everybody like content creators, dealers, manufacturers, we're all kind of like, I don't know. And this year, it seems like mostly manufacturers are going, I don't know. But everybody else is back, is the vibe I'm getting. Seems like lots of, all of our dealers that we have pretty much are going there. Everybody I've talked to, except for you, Brian, and a couple other people, are actually going. They may not be displaying, but they're going.
Well, so... we're going as a company, just we're not exhibiting.
Are you going to be there?
I'm not, no, because the people that are going are all salespeople.
Ah. So, which makes sense.
So, you know, I mean, since there's going to be retailers there, we're going to be writing orders, but we're not having a booth or anything.
Got it.
I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, it kind of goes down to what we talked about several times. I mean, if you have $80,000, do you want to spend it exhibiting or do you want to spend it doing something else? I'd rather do something else with it.
I mean, you fly around to the top 10 dealers in the country and actually personally visit them for a day or two. I don't know. Yeah. There's lots of ways to split that off.
Excuse me. You can, you know, work on an octave fuzz pedal, you know, put time.
Insanity.
Doing R&D in that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That would be very
you could do that.
Fuzz-trating to be doing that, Bri.
It might make one a lizard queen.
Oh. You know?
What? Oh, hold on. Is that what it says? From where I'm sat, it looks like it says Le Gizzard Queef. Is that not the pedal that we're looking at? Oh, I'm going to have to change this article.
Yeah. There you go. You deserved it.
Sometimes you ever have like those nippy chihuahuas at your heels and you're just like, down, down,
down, down.
Yeah. That's kind of like how I view Richard. Just one of those little chihuahuas. Yep. Yip, 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 yip.
But he'd be like a big chihuahua, which is kind of frightening.
Yeah, more imagine like a Rottweiler.
Like a chihuahua the size of a Rottweiler.
I'm probably going to suggest that changing the subject of this podcast to being about dogs may be a bit insensitive to me. All right, I'm just going to let you know that.
That's true.
We should probably not go there. I'm going to say it now because it's come up, but for the listeners' benefit, and I can laugh about it, but I definitely couldn't last week. I had to have my dickhead of a dog, Alfie, put to sleep last week because he ironically suffered from a massive stroke and, really sad times in the Oliver household. But he had 13 amazing years, and that's all you can do for a dog is make sure they have a good time. So, yeah, going to miss that dickhead. He was an annoyance. There's a lot of
gas, emitted from that dog during this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I did think, you know, the few episodes that we have videoed, and he is in some of them, I was like, at some point I'll be watching those and be like, yeah, he was an idiot. But, yeah, very much missed. It's a horrible thing losing a dog. Any pet, to be honest, but the longer you're with them, the worse. And I know, you were pretty hit hard when you lost, I forget the name of your little white doggy. What was your name?
Bailey.
Bailey, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's like, Brian can't even remember. Now we're in trouble.
I've been through several untimely passings of animals since then.
Yeah, some of them at your hands. How about you, Blake? Is it something you've experienced a lot of? Did I just break up?
Where'd it go?
I don't know where you went, but I can hear Richard just fine.
He cut out on me for a second.
He said, are there any animals that you've lost?
Yes. The last one, and will hopefully be my last one, because I've realized I'm not an animal person. I like animals. I like having pets. I love eating them. That's my favorite thing to do. But when I get attached to a pet, I get real attached. And when they die, I get real sad.
Mm.
And some people will be like, well, it's worth it. And for me, I'm like, it's not.
I feel you completely right now.
I've lost so many people in my life, and that's sad enough. And I'm going to lose more because that's just life and how it works. And that hurts bad enough. And the last one I lost, and Richard may find this kind of funny, was my my little hedgehog. I had a hedgehog years ago.
Did you name him Sonic?
I named him Pacino.
Pacino.
Yeah.
Al Pacino, huh?
Yeah, after Al Pacino. Yeah.
Did he have a little friend?
He would crawl around. Good one. I like that. No, he was my little friend though. We would watch movies. He would crawl around on me, and it was sad when we had to put him down. I buried him under what is now my kid's play structure, which is
I've never known anybody keep a hedgehog as a pet. Over here, of course, they run wild. They are a wild creature of England.
Yeah, see, they don't really run wild over here. Well, so they have a specific breed that's like a hybrid of the African and British. It's kind of weird, but yeah.
The reason they don't run wild over there is because you all got guns and you shoot them. That's why.
Well, we have a lot of prickly suckers, and they do the same thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's it was my little friend, and after that, I was like, you know what? I just don't need to have any more animals. I just don't.
I'm not gonna lie. It's really, really hard, and I totally, totally get you. But I probably will have another dog at some point, but it's not going to be for a while.
I love dogs. It's just with my lifestyle right now, I can't be having many more dogs. You know?
Yeah.
It's too much to take care of.
Well, it's for real, though, because my wife and I have talked about this. We have friends, and I had a friend who...
Don't lie.
Okay, you guys are my friends, and I have other acquaintances. I had a friend whose entire vacation that he'd planned for a whole year just got derailed because his dog sitting situation changed.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm not trying to have that extra barrier to my life. It's hard enough to just figure out a regular vacation.
Yep.
If you can't, yeah. Yep. A year of planning and money and all that just. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, we do a lot of camping, as I've talked about before, and it's just it's too much to coordinate with grandkids and kids. I now have a kid that had moved out that is now back at home for a little bit, so it's a little chaotic.
Thank you for letting me move back in, by the way.
You're welcome. By the way, make sure you get your laundry done today.
So anyway.
And clean the bathroom up, because you pee all over the floor. I don't like it.
Well, that's dark.
Swiftly back to the legizard queen. I wasn't ever really familiar with the lizard queen.
Yeah, me either.
Most people weren't.
So, obviously, it's an octave fuzz. Is it based on any known type of fuzz circuit? Or?
It's from the mythology that has been, you know, kind of revealed through this launch. It's largely a very, very... Maybe the rarest electroharmonics pedal that in existence is what I'm gathering from this. So I don't know if Mike Matthews came up with this, you know, as part of one of his, you know, like the Big Muff. I don't really know. Or if he based it on something else and tweaked it. I really don't know the story behind the original Lizard Queen. We probably should have watched the JHS video on it before we recorded this. Then maybe we would know.
I think as we record it, the JHS video is coming out. Plus, much as I love Josh and his videos, I simply don't have time. I need information instantly. I haven't got an hour.
4 minutes or less, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I need the condensed version, 4 minutes or less.
Yep, that's it. TLDR. So you are that person for me.
I can't be that because I haven't watched the video.
Trying to find a schematic of it, and I'm not finding anything just yet.
Oh, it's
the
got magic
shots
in it,
on the website are pretty interesting.
I've seen, yeah, the JHS stuff, but I mean, the Lizard Queen was, this is a pedal that existed years ago, right?
That is my understanding.
And I'm surprised I can't find any schematics of it.
Let me pull up this this little pamphlet thing here that I was looking at earlier. Yeah, it says...
Interesting. Nothing.
This is funny. One of the cards they have included with the Lizard Queen is, hello, welcome to 1975. The transistors are finicky. The screen print ink is toxic. And there's cigarette smoke in the break room. This pedal is a nod to how things used to be. Warts and all. You may see minor blemishes and on the shiny silver case or hand-printed silkscreen. Also, just like vintage EHX, you may notice very slight sonic differences between these units due to the vintage-inspired circuit, parts tolerances, and the parts tolerances of the era-appropriate parts.
That reminds me. Blemishes, Bri. B-stock. We need to mention that at some point.
That's true. We now have some B-stock on the website. We should we should talk about that. And it will be ongoing and changing. So not real huge quantities. So if you see something...
Very limited.
Yeah, if you see something on there, hop on it. And, you know, check it out. It's stuff at a pretty big discount.
It's out of your trash bin.
Well, I mean, basically it's just stuff that's scratched or, you know, maybe like sometimes if a person has a pedal and then they trade it for another one or they get a return or something like that. You know, sometimes it may have little knocks here and there. And
whatever. These are all your old prototypes you dug right out of the Wampler personal garbage can. That's what
I would
these
not.
Are.
I would not be a fan of selling the prototypes. They're usually they usually look pretty gnarly once you modify it a dozen times.
You don't
times.
Even like sending them out.
I don't. No. Not a fan. But
well, I know we kind of segued, but I have more in Lizard Queen info.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring
yeah,
on the Lizard
so,
Queen.
So I'm looking at it's. This is all off the pamphlet that they have here. Mm-hmm. It is no, this is not as one of the initial six screen printed big box builds was presented to Mike Matthews. Oh no, nope. This is not what as much as I wanted. Nope, I still don't have as much information as I thought. I thought I found a great treasure trove of new knowledge, but this is more about the development of the current pedal and not so much what the old one was. So. More on that to come, I guess.
Apparently, there was a leak, according to Reddit, 1 year ago.
Really?
Yes. So this has been yeah. something they've been working on for a while, apparently.
People kept talking about it. Like, there was an announcement that was going to be a JHS release, and people went, oh, is it going to be the Lizard Queen, finally? So I guess those in the JHS inner sanctum probably knew about it, but...
Maybe I'm all wet because I do remember seeing this on the JHS channel, but like maybe this isn't what I thought it was.
It's the Mandela effect.
I just saw that old video just a minute ago and I don't even see it now. Let's see if I can find it.
In real time. This is real time internet sleuthing you're getting on this podcast.
No, not there. It's not there. Stay with me. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere just yet.
I'm leaving.
There it is.
Oh, you're back.
Let's see. It is, when was this video? Oh, hold on. I don't want to see an ad. 1 year ago, called okay. Making a Vintage Electro Harmonics Pedal. This week, Josh and Daniel Danger put the nerd in Pedal Nerd by LARPing their favorite electro harmonics pedal build. No, we're not making this up.
Huh.
Okay.
That's what it says. February 18th, 2022.
Whenever I think that I am being too nerdy about this stuff, I remind myself that Josh Scott exists. And I'm like, nah, you haven't got there yet.
He's absolutely. In a good way, not like a bad way.
I mean that as high praise, but I also mean that as somebody came over and recorded a podcast here recently, and they were like, let me take a picture of all these pedals so I can show my significant other that I'm not that far gone yet. And I'm like, that's funny. That's what I do with Josh Scott. Like... At least I don't have 4,000 pedals.
Yet.
Truth.
You could buy the new Universal Audio pedals I saw leaked.
Oh, those look good. Mm. Ooh. I say that
fan.
Mostly because the golden reverberator I have is awesome. And so anything that UA is doing with reverb, I'm instantly interested in. What do you think? What do you think, Richard? Tell me more.
I'm liking the look of them. So they've combined a couple of algorithms from two pedals into one twice. No, three times here, haven't they?
That's three kind times, of the, yeah.
Yeah. So I only saw the third one after some intensive internet digging. No, sorry. 3 minutes of Googling. But yeah, though they look good, but they're still quite pricey. $479 each, I think.
New video just came out from Sweetwater, by the way, regarding them. Well, last week as you listen to this. But literally within the past 40 minutes.
Oh, we're on the pulse
as
today.
Record. Yes.
Wow.
So yeah, the Delverb, delay reverb, obviously. Mm-hmm. A Galaxy, I don't know what that is. And a Max. Let's see. Actually read it and see if it says anything.
No, because don't read it.
This is a YouTube video, and I really don't want to be forced to watch a YouTube video while we record.
4 minutes.
It's 17 minutes long. So you just have to wait till next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17 minutes. See, that's... The thing is, like, YouTube punishes you if you have, like, a four-minute video. They're like, that's not enough for us to do ads. Mm. We need more time in there so we can show people ads that they don't care about. Which kind of sucks because I myself prefer the 4 minute video.
I do too.
So
I think
what you end up
minutes,
doing is like, how do I spread this out to 8 minutes? How do I do that?
But basically, 4 minutes is eight times longer than I really want. I want the 30 second guitar.
Oh, I'm with you.
I'm just like, turn all knobs, play tunes, buy. That's what I want.
And this is what ChatGPT will be perfect for, because I can say, what is this video about in one paragraph?
But it'll lie to you.
It might make something up. This is about extraterrestrials. No, it's not. It's a guitar pedal.
No, it's not. It's a lizard queen. What are you talking about? Right.
No, it's definitely extraterrestrials. It is not, Mr. ChatGPT.
They're all lizards. They're lizards. It's all the lizards. They control the world.
I mean,
the globalist lizards. The globalist lizards.
Are the lizards the globalist ones? Isn't it the tall Nordics? I forget. My alien lore is a bit rusty today.
I think the lizards are the globalists.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Nordics that were the globalists. And oh, wait a minute. No, the lizards are the royal family of the UK.
That's right.
That's see how easy it is to get these things confused. Yeah, I definitely do not support the lizard army and their people.
No, because you're for the AI overlords.
I am for the AI. Well, no, I'm for the half AI overlords. I want half. Artificial dumbness, not intelligence.
So
we've been through all of this. So
speaking of aliens.
Yes.
Did you guys happen to see the link that I sent this week?
I was just thinking about this. The portal.
The portal thing. Yes.
I did not watch the video. Can you give me the 30-second summary like you've been asking for?
This, I don't even recall the guy's name, but somewhere in Arizona, I want to say Sedona, where is it? I forget, somewhere in Arizona, apparently it's known for its mystical properties there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he took two frequencies and played it at the same time with a certain type of crystal in the room, and it opened up a portal. And there's several videos. One of them is he's taking the Berenstain Bears book, and he's walking it into the room with the portal, and it changes the name to Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
Or vice versa. I forget how that works with the Mandela effect. But basically, and then apparently the person disappeared. And so people are like, oh no, he got caught in the portal, and who knows where he's at now.
It sounds like something. So he played two frequencies. One of them, I'm going to assume, was 500 hertz. So that probably summoned Howard the Duck. And he was consumed by a duck-like creature from another dimension. That's my theory.
Could be. I forget the exact frequencies.
But 432 hertz.
I know it was nothing like common, like 500. It was like a 428 and a 523 or something like that. It was something, you know.
I'm going to make two statements here, Bri. One is you've got too much time on your hands. And two, what kind of person has the time to make videos that are essentially like a science fiction sketch?
Sedona, Arizona. So the user is Funky Fathead, all one word, if you want to look it up.
All right.
He has I'm assuming it's a he because it, you know, has a very deep voice.
Seems like something a dude would do, let's be honest.
He's like, I'll tell you what, babe, I got this portal right here. It's that sort of thing.
And, is that how they sound in Sedona?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, bub, we're down in Sedona. Wait. I don't know what they sound like.
Frequencies, okay, this video is called Gateway to Sedona. Frequencies unlocked a wormhole freeway to locales around Earth and the universe. It's been here a long time and hours to use.
Gateway to Sedona, isn't that an Eagles record?
I was going to say, if I'm thinking of an album called Gateway to Sedona, in my mind, I'm seeing a road, some greenery, and a slightly chubby guy in like a dress shirt and jeans with a 335 slung around his neck. Am I too far off there?
I replace road with railroad track, and I think you're on the right. Yeah, I think you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. That's my my next prog album, Gateway to Sedona.
I'm guessing this guy didn't actually I haven't watched it, but
525 hertz and 528 hertz played simultaneously.
Well, that definitely summoned Howard the Duck. That's what happened.
Anyways.
People have too much time. Yeah, I didn't actually see that video because I saw the title and was like, well, this is clearly bullshine, so I'm not going to waste my valuable time watching this.
Available at Costco.
Mm-hmm. I've become such a big fan of Costco. I'm not going to lie. We've got one just up the road. It's now my one stop for fuel, kitchen paper, and large American foods.
You're becoming more American by the minute.
Yes.
Do they sell the amazing energy drink Bullshine?
I didn't see it.
Energy drink of professionals available at Costco.
I should go and suggest they start stocking some just after making some. I think that's
it. I agree. I was going to ask you a question and it just failed. I was going to ask you both a question and my brain went, you know what? You don't need to talk about
it
that.
It sucks being a failure, doesn't it?
It does.
I can speak from experience.
That's right.
It's not fun.
I will say this is kind of a weird episode because as this drops, I will be in NAMM I'll be in NAMM about when this episode drops.
Actually, you'll be coming back.
NAMM will already have happened. So it's kind of weird. We're doing this weird time travel where I haven't been to NAMM yet, but yet I have, as you heard this at the same time. Talk about a portal.
Good. Are you in Sedona by chance?
Oh, Howard, is that you?
So who else? Matthews came out with a new pedal.
Oh yeah, a reverb. It's the day of the reverb, apparently.
Mm-hmm. A budget reverb, yep. Though. And I learned something today because I saw the pedal and it was called the Traveler, and I was like, "There are two L's in Traveler, but apparently not in Americana." Apparently, you guys are so lazy, you decided to take the second L out of Traveler. Is that correct?
Well, I think we're just kind of getting you back for the, you know, messing up aluminum thing.
Yeah, you put extra letters in aluminum, so we're like, trying to take some out elsewhere.
Exactly. We're just like, we got to even this out somewhere.
If you think we put extra letters in, you wait till you come to Wales. They put plenty of extra letters in, and none of them are possible to be said without spitting. But, literally.
Welcome to Wales.
But I did not realize that. I did not realize you spelled Traveler with only one L.
We don't really understand why you spell aluminum with like 18 extra letters.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. Yeah.
On that, you are correct. Your pronunciation of aluminium is probably more accurate than ours.
Interestingly enough, I was just curious about this. Because in my head, I was like, no, there's two L's. Because usually when I see the word Traveler, I'm looking at the studio album by Chris Stapleton, and that mm-hmm. has two L's.
Because he
So I guess
has
it depends on who you
education.
Talk to.
No, mm-hmm. it definitely should have two L's if you are speaking the Queen's English. But I guess, you know, Rick's from your part of the world, he'd be speaking a different form of English.
He's not too far from me, a couple hours away. In the glorious Tri-Cities area, if I remember correctly, the land of chilies and, I don't know, I think that's about it. Maybe Applebee's?
So I tried to look up his website, and it just says April 11th, which is today, and I don't see anything else about it. How come you released the pedal and it's not on your website, dude?
I think it is. Maybe it's sold out already.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Wait, there it is. It just didn't come up on the first screen. Okay. Traveler Exploratory Reverb for $129.
Hey, not bad.
Ultimate it's Reverb cheap. For any musician. It has mod, shimmer, and vintage, giving you endless creative possibilities for your sound.
Interesting.
And it has MIDI control.
Yeah, MIDI as well. 6 preset slots make it easy to switch between your favorite sounds. Can it though? What if my favorite sound is a large belch? Can it switch between that?
Could we model in NAMM something that made large belches and then release it?
Well, funny you say that. So as the listeners of this podcast might know, I have been dabbling into the neural modeling world. Lately, past several weeks. And so I had this brilliant idea yesterday. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can model a Miku, right? Miku, whatever. Yes. You know
what I'm talking
about.
You texted that. Did you actually try it?
I did try it. It does not work properly. It sounds like a very bad distortion mixed with clean signal.
Now I'm interested.
But I mean, I can send you the file. You can have it, but it didn't do the Mikku thing. So I was disappointed. I'm like, my Bilge pedal shall not exist yet.
Not yet. But maybe you can reach out to the makers of the fart pedal and they can make one that comes out the other end.
that sounds disgusting. Yeah.
You know, that's what they should do. If you run the cables one direction, it's the fart pedal. When you run them the opposite way, it's the Bilge pedal.
That would be the greatest Easter egg ever, wouldn't it? I'd love that so much.
You missed the April Fool's Day perfect gag. You know?
Yeah. Let's not talk about it. why do singers think they can act, by the way? And as a David Bowie fan, guilty of following someone who does. But I don't know whether you guys caught The Mandalorian, but it had Lizzo in it. Let's just say that her acting was probably about as good as Jake Lloyd's in The Phantom Menace. I'm not a fan.
I mean, this is just the industry capitalizing on someone's popularity, right? I mean, great actors don't make great singers, and great singers don't make great actors sometimes. Sometimes
I like Bowie in Labyrinth personally, but that's just me. I
mean, but he was very wooden in Labyrinth. I mean, look into the crystal ball, Sarah. It was very
don't
wooden.
Ruin my childhood.
But it was probably he was actually a good actor in certain films. But you know, then think about Sting in Dune, for example. Although he was very good in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. That doesn't always make the crossover. But I watched the latest episode of The Mandalorian, which won't be the latest when this goes out. Lizzo was in it. Great character, thought the casting was brilliant until she started trying to act. It really looked amateur hour.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I haven't seen it.
Me either. I was busy watching the Jason Isbell documentary on HBO.
I like Jason, but I haven't seen that either.
You probably like it. If you're a fan of his, you'd probably like the doc.
I have limited time to watch things, and it tends not to be stuff like that.
It tends to be random guys in Sedona, Arizona, making portals to summon Howard the Duck.
So that I discovered that on TikTok going through my feed, right? And then I was like, this is strange. And so I just did a quick Google. So basically, I was sitting on the toilet while watching that. So you're welcome.
Okay.
Picture that.
What else are you going to do?
Be sick.
Picture this, you know? Get this buff, handsome, strapping young man sitting on a toilet, going through his TikTok.
And Brian's like, get off my toilet, you.
That's my toilet. What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
That's my toilet, good sir.
Only old farts like me are sitting on that toilet.
And that's when Blake had to leave the Wampler residence. Oh, wait. But it's a good doc, and it was nice. I feel kind of bad for my wife sometimes when we're watching music documentary. This one podcast I listen to has totally messed up my pronunciation of that word. So I'm just going to say doc. Music docs, because I'm like, oh, look, hey, he's wearing a Greer Amps shirt. Oh, look, that's a Tone King Imperial. Oh, look, a 12-string Rickenbacker. And she's just like, oh, you shut up. Stop it. Just stop it. But it is a very good documentary. So, yeah.
I haven't seen it. Have you seen the new Earthquaker?
Aurelius.
There we go. That's what it is. Thank you.
Modulation City over there with that one.
That's pretty cool. So that we have vibrato, the chorus, the rotary chorus.
Who'd have ever thought those three effects could ever be done by the same chip?
Well, fun little fact about the vibrato and the chorus. The vibrato is just when you take a chorus and you take the wet signal off, and take the dry signal off, and then you get the vibrato.
There you go. You heard it here first from Coyote.
That's what it is right there. Rotary chorus. That's interesting. What are you doing, young Jamie, to make a rotary chorus?
I don't know. I'll ask him when I see him here in a few days.
That's right. Yeah, they're doing a get-together out there at NAMM, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, they're still doing the pedal party. So, actually, I guess this is worth noting, since people know it won't, because it'll already have happened. Never mind. But
yeah. No, get loads of people to meet you somewhere where you were last week.
Right.
Just, I'll send the coordinates and the link in the show notes. Just go there and I won't be there.
Right.
But I was there at one point.
But you'll be able to feel my presence from being there.
That's right. I'll leave it at the frequency the portal.
Uh-huh. So yeah, so the Earthquaker Aurelius. Aurelius.
Sounds rude. Sounds a bit nipply, doesn't it?
Aurelius. The tri-voice chorus from Earthquaker.
So I know we're pushing on time. I do want to just very quickly mention two players who departed this mortal coil. One is Lassie Wallander. I don't think I've said that right. Who was the guitarist with ABBA. He toured with them and was on a few of their albums and was just a fantastic player. But the other that probably hit closer to home for me was Ian Benson, who was the guitarist who played with Kate Bush. He was in Pilot, and he did the solo on Wuthering Heights. And many, many people thought that the solo on Wuthering Heights was David Gilmour, because it sounds very David Gilmour-esque with note choices and tones. And of course, it was David Gilmour. I've said it three times and none of you have asked me to take a shot. This is brilliant news. But David Gilmour discovered Kate Bush.
Take a shot. Oh, sorry.
She sent a tape with like 40 songs in, and he drove round to her parents' house, and now she's like one of the greatest singers of all time. But there's a nice story. But Ian Benson was the guitar player who did the solo on Wuthering Heights, which I am now learning because it's a fantastic solo. Beautiful. But yeah, very talented. Was with the Alan Parker project as well.
Oh, wow.
Great tone. Hmm. Awesome tone. Brilliant.
You say Alan Parker?
Parsons.
Oh, I thought you said Parker. I'm like, who's the Alan Parker project?
I probably did, because I was looking at something at the same time.
He was scrolling on Reverb for Parker Parker Flies.
Is a completely different kettle of fish.
Alan Parker project. That's just some dude in Tucson. He's there trying to work on his favorite fish taco recipe.
Something to do with Lady Penelope's butler. There's a reference for the kids. The Alan Parsons project. Definitely not the Alan Parker project. Alan Parker's a famous director, I think.
Of course he is. I knew that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch all his greatest hits.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Good.
All right. So with that said, I think it's about time to move on to Patreon. We still have a bunch of topics yet to talk about on Patreon. A ton of stuff. I mean, we've got... We got ton of stuff. Alex Lyson, more NAMM profiling stuff. And you just talk about Lassie Wallander. I'm not talking about that. Yeah.
I just got emailed about the new Universal Audio pedals. How about that?
That's great. A new Headrush Prime. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, we did.
Not really. I mean, we kind of glossed over it.
Before we get there, haven't you got some names you need to read out, Brian?
Nope. No, I don't. I'm just kidding.
All right.
Of course, very special thanks to all of our Patreon executive producers, the ones that allow this to happen, and probably some of the greatest known people in the world, if we're being honest here. Bill Bays, Jake Young from Men the Helm Podcast. I should take a break here and say, go check out Jake's podcast. And look specifically for some of his interviews with some of the folks from this podcast.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
The Richard Oliver episode. I'd recommend that.
There you go.
I listen to it.
I wouldn't.
Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti. I don't know why I said Bandy. I don't know why I said that.
Dave Trombandy.
Shannon Alan Weaver Parker. And the band Reduced to Rust. Ooh, that was a good one. Did you hear that? Reduce the rust.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, getting good. Eric Wilson, Radar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, and who you're sporting a hat from Honey Picks, I believe. Aren't you, Blake?
I am.
DJ Patty F, Dylan Toxtone, Stran, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity, who makes the annoying memes, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spano, the Twang Kings, mm-hmm. Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, Harry Post, Mike Peace, and Make More Music. No, that's the name. Yeah. I'm not telling you to make more music.
That's we also the person. Are, though. But, we also are saying that.
I mean, you don't just collect gear. Go make something with your gear.
That's right.
And with that, we'll talk to everyone next week. And for those on the Patreon, we'll talk to you in just a minute. See you.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, and also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Make sure to check out wamplerpedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.